Now, friends, let us turn in the Word of God to the 8th chapter of Romans. Romans chapter 8, which will be our new series for our midweek Bible studies. The 8th chapter of Romans, in a way that the rest of the Scripture does not, speaks immediately to those truths that we regard as the most glorious and the most personal. This chapter begins with no condemnation, and it ends in its final verse, in verse 39, with no separation. No condemnation, no separation. Which one of us, friends, has not from time to time, in the moments of stress and difficulty and doubt and trouble, turn to those closing words, the climax of the 8th chapter of Romans. In verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Nay, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. And in many times in our lives, when we are under great trials, and when our world around us are collapsing upon us, we have turned to such passages. In Romans chapter 8. Now, I'm going to, on another occasion, outline to you our way through Romans 8. But for now, I want us to go to what is one of the most glorious and one of the most magnificent texts in our in all of Scripture. In many ways, it encapsulates the entirety of the gospel and what it has to say about the Christian life. You could summarize Christianity and what it means to be a Christian, what are the implications of being found in Jesus Christ, simply by reading verses 1 through to 4 of Romans chapter 8. And in the course of these verses, the Apostle Paul asserts three things about every believer. And this is what I'm going to speak to you about, these three things. Well, I will only concentrate, I think we will only have time, for the first point. But there are three things here that he says in verses 1 through to 4. First of all, he says this, that about every man and woman and boy and girl who is found in Jesus Christ, there are three things that are true. In Christ, he says, there is no condemnation. That's the first thing. In Christ, there is no condemnation. In Christ, we have been set free, we have been liberated. That's the second thing. And in Christ, we walk not after the flesh, but according to the Spirit. That's the third thing. And I want us to think about these lines of thought, and especially the first point that I want to bring to you from verse 1 of Romans chapter 8. So the first point, and the only point we want to think about this evening, is this, that Christians are no longer under condemnation. In Christ, there is now no condemnation. This is what we read. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Think about this, my friends. This is a glorious text. Now, you'll notice that it begins with the word therefore. There is therefore. That word there is, you see it in italics in our translation, which means it is additional word which is to supplement the meaning of the words here. There is therefore. Therefore is the first word that is used in the text, therefore. And when we come to that word, we always should ask ourselves, why is it there? Why is therefore, therefore, we could say. Why is it there? Now, the Apostle Paul is drawing a conclusion. He's drawing a conclusion in the particular context. And the context is so important. He's drawing a conclusion from something that he has said earlier in this epistle. If you turn to chapter 5 and verse 16, there seems to be a link between what he is saying now in chapter 8 and verse 1 and what he's been saying in chapter 5 and verse 16. He says in chapter 5 of Romans and verse 16, "And not as it was by one that sinned." Here he's speaking about Adam who sinned, of course. And he says, "And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift, for the judgment was by one to condemnation." He's speaking about the fact that through that sin, condemnation came upon all men. But so he says, "For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification." There is condemnation, there is justification, and then if you drop down to verse 18 of chapter 5, you'll see the Apostle Paul repeating it again. "Therefore, as by one offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life." So again, speaking about condemnation that came upon mankind through sin, all men, he says, to condemnation. Now, the Apostle Paul seems to be reflecting on that in the first verse of Romans chapter 8. And he's saying, in Christ, there is no condemnation. There is what, this is what I've been saying, he's saying. This is what I've been telling you. This is what I've been writing about. In Jesus Christ, therefore, based on all that I have said, there is now no condemnation. Now, it's important for us to see that the Apostle Paul means what he means. And what he means is this in relationship to Jesus Christ. "There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus." In Christ Jesus. Are we in Christ Jesus? That great reformer, John Calvin, writes in his Institutes of the Christian Religion that so long as Christ remains outside of us, all that he has accomplished for us remains useless and of no value to us. That which Christ has accomplished for us on the cross, he says, needs to be internalized. It needs to be actualized. We need to be brought into a relationship with Jesus Christ. That's what he means. And this is what the Apostle Paul is speaking to us about. He's thinking of justification. You remember how in the opening chapters of Romans that has been the Apostle Paul's theme. He begins with the epistle to the Romans by expounding the doctrine of sin. He speaks about that there is none righteous, no, not one. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. These are the things that he speaks about at the beginning. Paul surveys the entirety of humanity, Jews as well as Gentiles, those who are in the possession of the covenant of God and those who are not, those who are the beneficiaries of all of the privileges and status that belongs to the people of God of the Old Testament, and those who are not, Jews and Gentiles. The apostle talks about those who have the scriptures and those who do not have the scriptures. And he concludes them, you remember, "There is none righteous," he says, "but all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." He says, none of them are righteous. None of us are righteous. We have fallen short. And the great question arises, that's the greatest question that we can ever ask, given the fact that there is none righteous, given the fact that all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, this is the question: how can a sinner be found in a right relationship with God? Not just God, but the most perfect and holy God, a righteous God. How can a sinner be found in a right relationship with that God? How is it possible for a sinner to be made right with God? How is it possible for God, who is just, to justify the sinner? How is it possible? How can he be just and the justifier of him who believes in Jesus Christ? And Paul is reflecting on the gospel itself, that God has found a way. Praise God for that. God has found a way to be true to himself, to be true to his righteousness, to be true to his nature, to be true to the integrity of his being, and justify sinners at the same time. So right now, it is possible that sinners like you and me can be in a right standing and a right relationship with God, so that we can say there is now no condemnation. That once we were condemned, once we were under the curse of the broken law, once we were sinners facing the condemnation of God and hell. But no more. Praise God. No more. We've been plucked as brands from the burning. We have been plucked from that broad road that was leading us to destruction with the rest of the world. We've been brought into that narrow way. Now by his grace, we stand in a relationship in which our sins are forgiven, our sins are blotted out, they are removed from us as far as the east is from the west. They are buried in the sea of God's forgetfulness. There is now no condemnation. I think of Wesley's great hymn, "And Can It Be That We Sang on the Lord's Day?" And can it be that I should gain an interest in the Savior's blood? No condemnation now I dread, he says. Jesus and all in him is mine, alive in him my living bread, or my living head. I'm clothed in righteousness divine. Bold I approach the eternal throne and claim the crown through Christ my own. That's our song now. That's our praise now. That's our status now. That's our privilege now. If we are in Jesus Christ, that is. There is no condemnation. All our sins, all of it, the darkest, the blackest sins are covered, and you and I who are in Jesus Christ are in this glorious condition, in this glorious state that we can say there is now no condemnation. Paul isn't just thinking about justification. He's not just thinking about what he had been writing about in chapters 2 and 3 and 4 and 5. I think this, therefore, is probably also saying something about what he's been just writing about in chapter 7. You remember what the Apostle Paul has said in chapter 7? He speaks about this struggle that he has. This is the Apostle Paul. He's not talking about his life before he was converted. No, he's talking in present tense verbs. He says, this is what goes on in my heart, in my life right now. The good that I would, I do not. The evil that I would not, that I find that I do. The things that I don't want to do, I find myself doing them. And the things that I want to do, I find not doing. That's your experience right now, is it not? In some measure, in some ways, there are certain things in your life that you wish you were not doing, and yet you find yourself doing. You know, you must not get angry at certain things, and yet you find rage within you. There are things that you ought to be rejoicing over, and yet you find yourself not rejoicing. You have gathered with your Bibles and you're very conscious, some of you, that you're not what you want to be, that you have sinned even as a believer, even as someone in union with Jesus Christ. You have fallen short of the glory of God even now. And you struggle, and there are the ups and downs that are there in your life, even today. And you can relate to what the Apostle Paul is saying in the closing section of Romans chapter 7, that the good that you would do, you do not. And the evil that you would not want to do, that you find that you do them. And you perhaps say with the Apostle Paul now, you are crying to God, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" He goes on, of course, to say, "But thanks be unto God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." And you see, I think we fall into a grave error just at this point. We are Christians, we believe in Jesus Christ, and there is no condemnation. But then we sin and we revert to a state of condemnation again. We feel condemned again. So we try to do a little better. We try to work a little harder. We try to discipline ourselves a little more because we feel we are not under God's blessing, but we are under condemnation of God. We come to church more often. We read our Bibles a little more. We try to do some act of service. We have some nice thoughts about the Lord. And then we slip back into a state of no condemnation again. But then tomorrow we sin again. And we slip back into the state of condemnation. And we try to do more good things. And we try to love the Lord Jesus Christ more. And read perhaps an extra chapter of our Bibles, and then we slip back into a state of no condemnation again. That's performance mentality. And it dogs us, doesn't it? It hounds us all the time. We can hardly believe our eyes. We can hardly believe our ears when we read in Romans chapter 8, not just about the state of justification, but about the state of sanctification, about the reality of our condition now as ongoing sinners. There is no condemnation. If you are in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation. Yes, I have sinned. Yes, I have fallen short of God's glory. I've come short of it. Yes, I have come to Jesus Christ. I have put my faith and trust in Him, and I continue to sin. I have put my faith in Him, and yet I fall short tonight. Even now, even at this very minute, I fall short of the glory of God. That's my condition. That's your condition. But I am in Jesus Christ. I am resting in Him. I am trusting in Him. And there is now no condemnation to them who are in Jesus Christ. And my dear friends, that's the gospel. That's the beauty of it. That's the extraordinary nature of the gospel. You can hardly believe it. You're just maybe saying to yourself, isn't that a license to sin then? That if I can sin and still be in a state of no condemnation, isn't that a license to sin? Doesn't that encourage me to sin? Well, if a person thinks like that and actually practices it and says to himself, well, I can do these things because I'm not under condemnation. I can go and sin and break God's law because I'm not under condemnation. That shows that person has not understood what is the gospel. They have not understood what Christ suffered for us. They have not actually taken and applied the gospel to their own life and heart. They are not in Jesus Christ. Those who are living in sin, under the power of sin, and are happy in it, they are still under the condemnation. But this is talking about those who've been saved, those who have been bought by the precious blood of Christ, those who've been born again. No, this does is not a license to sin. Because we are set free from the power of sin. And Paul is making one of the most glorious statements imaginable. Tell me a better statement. Tell me a more glorious statement than this one. That for the man or woman who is in Jesus Christ, there is now no condemnation. The verdict of the last day before the grand examination and the judgment of God has been brought forth into the now, very much now, so that what is true of me now will be true of me then, when I'm being judged on that final day. God says there is now no condemnation on him, on her. That on that day of judgment to the man or woman in Jesus Christ, there is no condemnation, no condemnation. There can only be one application, my friends, one application. And that is just overwhelming. It is overwhelmingly thanksgiving and overwhelming gratitude and overwhelming worship and love towards God that He has found a way to justify sinners like us. And my dear friends, are you rejoicing in the gospel this evening? Do you love it more than anything else in all the world? Is it your constant thought and meditation? And do you sing with all your heart how sweet the name of Jesus sounds in a believer's ear? And that name is sweet because it is full of gospel, because it meets us where we are as sinners, as transgressors of God's law. So that's the first thing. We are not under condemnation, those who are in Jesus Christ. There is now no condemnation. What a beautiful statement that is. Go now, repeat that to yourself. You who are true believers in Jesus Christ, you who are bought by Christ's blood, those of you who are born again of God's Spirit, go and repeat this to yourself. Tell yourself, I am in Jesus Christ. He saved me. And there is now no condemnation for me. What a balm that is. What a beautiful thing that is. What a sweet thing that is. What a glorious thing. You can hardly believe it. A million questions arise in your mind as to how that can possibly be true. But it is true. It is true. It is truer than anything else that in Jesus Christ there is now no condemnation, not just about past sins, but present sins and future sins. Whatever sin you may commit tomorrow, there is no condemnation if you are in Jesus Christ. They are blotted out. What a glorious statement that is. What an astounding statement that is. It takes your breath away. My friends, we are no longer condemned by our sins if we are in Jesus Christ, because Christ was condemned for us. And as I said, it is no license to sin at all. It is the very opposite. A man or woman who recognizes and who has experientially come to realize that they are no longer under that condemnation of the broken law, that their sins have been paid for by the sufferings of Jesus Christ and His cross work. A person who recognizes that does not have license to sin. But it is an encouragement to holiness. If Christ died for my sin, then it means that I don't have to serve sin. I don't have to feed on sin. I don't have to listen to sin. I'm not under its rule. I don't want to sin. God has put within my soul a new law, a new perspective. I've now been given new eyes. I've now been given new spirit. I've been given new heart. I am a new creature in Jesus Christ. And that leads to the second matter that we will leave for the next time. And that is this, that Christians are free from the law of sin and death. But again, repeat that verse to yourself. Meditate upon those words in the coming days. Say it to yourself, child of God. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. What a glorious statement. What a beautiful thing. What a humbling thing that me, who was once under God's wrath and condemnation, by the salvation that is found in Jesus Christ, have been translated into a state that I can say, by God's grace, there is therefore now no condemnation to me who am in Jesus Christ. May that be your testimony. Amen.